Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the San Juan Snowcast. I'm your host, Chris, and today is Wednesday, October 27th, 2021. This is episode 3. Man, October is a tough time of year in the San Juans. When we get that first snow, it just seems like winter is right around the corner. But then, the waiting game. High pressure brings us blue skies and crisp temps, while the jet stream funnels feet upon feet of early season snow into California and the Pacific Northwest. I mean, did you hear about the atmospheric river? And with the winter weather predictions all released from NOAA and the National Weather Service, it seems like this could be one of those winters where we find ourselves constantly looking to the north and west with jealous envy as they get hit and we get missed. Why, you ask? Well, answering that question is what this episode is all about. Let's break down the winter outlook for our region, discuss what this whole La Niña thing is all about, and get a little bit nerdy about the factors that influence our weather. Also, don't forget that meteorology is the field of study where you can be wrong half of the time and get away with it. And to be honest, we really don't fully know what could happen until it does. So with that, keep your fingers crossed and your volume up, because the snowcast starts now. And to kick things off, as we do every week, let's take a local look at the state of the snowpack, as well as last week's weather. Warm and sunny days this past week have continued to melt out that October 14th snowfall, while cold and clear nights have promoted the steady faceting of the snow that lingers in the shady pockets up in the Alpine. We got a little 1 to 2 inch storm. That was a shot of snow on Saturday night, but that melted out pretty quickly. And then on Monday night, strong winds and sleety rain ushered in a little slice of the big storm that impacted California and the PNW. This storm came in warm and windy, with the freezing line slowly dropping overnight. And when I woke up Tuesday morning and looked outside, it was blowing sideways. We had a couple inches on the ground, with temps just hovering above freezing at my house just shy of 10,000 feet. The skies broke briefly, and we got some blue sky midday Tuesday. But that was short-lived as the sucker hole closed up, and bands of intense snowfall and wind moved through the region. And here on Wednesday morning, it's cold. 17 degrees at my house right now, and mostly calm, with the sun peeking out through some thin clouds. But guess what, folks? The San Juans got the bulk of this one, with 13 inches at Red Mountain Pass, 10.6 inches at the Telluride Ski Patrol Shack, 5 inches on Lizard Head Pass, and 4 to 6 inches around the South San Juan. Across the rest of the state, totals range from a couple inches to a max of about 10 inches up on Buffalo Pass outside of Steamboat. But I would honestly say the big headline for this storm was the wind. Here in our neck of the woods, winds out of the west, southwest, and south blasted the peaks, with peak gusts of 73 miles per hour recorded on the Gold Hill Ridge on Telluride, and a max gust of 90 mph and an average wind speed of 27 measured at the Eagle Weather Station near Silverton. This wind moved a lot of snow throughout the storm, and I would imagine that you would see a lot of variable depth and wind-prone areas out there today. Just around my house, we have grass sticking out in the front yard, but 3-foot drifts in the backyard. If you venture out into the backcountry today, look for fresh wind slabs in the Alpine, and all the usual early season hazards that come with a thin and variable snowpack. Looking ahead, we've got a stretch of blue skies and sunny days through the weekend, with temperatures increasing through Saturday and Sunday. I expect these conditions to do a decent job of melting out lower elevations and sunny aspects. But this storm has truly kicked off our seasonal snowpack, and I imagine most of it will remain in places that we like to go skiing and riding. So, what's next? Well, next week could be exciting or a total dud for us down here in the Southwest. Starting Monday, models show some storm energy moving near or through Colorado, with the big question being, will these systems stay to the north or drop south and bring us more snow? Let's hope for the latter so that I have something exciting to talk about next week. And that's a wrap for the local recap. Well, there's been a lot of exciting weather news lately. Just not in our neck of the woods. But come with me, people, close your eyes, and let's leave this little corner of Colorado and head on over to California, where things are popping off in a hella big way. with atmospheric rivers, bomb cyclones, and La Nina. Oh my. Let's start things off with a look at the big storm that hit the West Coast this week and explain some of these wacky sounding weather terms. And first, some ear-popping statistics. On Sunday, October 24th, a Category 5 bomb cyclone, that's as gnarly as they get, folks, made landfall along the west coast of North America, setting a new record for the lowest pressure system to hit the area since a tropical cyclone in 1977. And the sheer quantity of liquid water that this storm brought ashore is just mind-boggling. In Sacramento, 5.5 inches of rain fell in 24 hours, setting a new record. And up in the mountains around Lake Tahoe, 42 inches of snow fell at Mount Rose in just 24 hours. But while snow lovers and weather nerds rejoice, thousands of people are suffering from flooded homes and a lack of electricity. And remember those forest fires? Well, heavy rain on burn scars equals land and mudslides. And roads across the region remain closed in the aftermath of this historic storm. Now, how did we get such an epic October storm? Well, two weather phenomena came together, creating a setup with lots of available moisture and a ton of intense storm energy. First, the atmospheric river, which we'll just shorten to AR from here on out. Now, an AR is a flowing column of condensed water vapor in the atmosphere. Imagine a hurricane, but take that swirling spiral of moisture and unravel it until it resembles a long snake moving directionally across the ocean. When this vapor snake makes landfall, the coastlines and mountains create orographic lift, pushing that sky river of water vapor high into the atmosphere until it cools, condenses, and dumps copious amounts of precipitation. Here's a fun fact from NOAA. That's the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, by the way. A strong AR transports an amount of water vapor roughly 15 times the average flow coming out of the mouth of the Mississippi. Dang, that's a lot of water. And fun fact number two, Pineapple Express is not just the name of a potent weed strain and hilarious Seth Rogen comedy. It's actually the name for an AR that brings warm, moist air from the West Pacific near Hawaii to the West Coast, leaving a trail of heavy precipitation in its wake and deluging parts of California and the PNW. Meteorologists have been watching this AR set up in the Pacific for a little while now. Then, enter the bomb cyclone. First off, did you know that hurricanes, cyclones, and typhoons are really just the same thing? We just call them different names depending on where they originate. Hurricanes are tropical storms that form in the Atlantic and the Northeast Pacific. Cyclones are formed over the South Pacific and Indian Oceans, and typhoons are formed over the Northwest Pacific. These things are all just big old strong weather systems, loaded up with moist air spiraling around a low pressure center. And when the pressure in the eye of that cyclone slash hurricane slash typhoon drops really low, really fast, we get bombogenesis, also known as explosive cyclogenesis. Both admittedly cool terms, but also kind of jargony. That's where bomb cyclone comes in. That thing is just headline worthy. But really, these two terms describe the same process, which is what happens when a weather system rapidly intensifies. For instance, when a cold air mass crashes into warm air above the Pacific Ocean. When these systems collide, the atmospheric pressure within the low pressure system can drop rapidly. That's the bomb drop. And if it drops more than 24 millibars within 24 hours, we get to call it a bomb cyclone. And to really simplify it, bomb cyclones are just really powerful storms. And when we pair that with an abundance of moisture, that atmospheric river, we get a shit ton of precip. Unfortunately, as these storm systems move inland, they typically lose strength and moisture. But here in the Rockies, we're usually lucky enough to get some of the leftovers, as we witnessed Tuesday and Tuesday night. All right, I'm guessing you probably need some time to process all that new information. Lucky for you, I know just what will help. Funk break! Alright, it's time to talk La Niña. The story starts with an explainer on what weather experts call ENSO. That's short for the El Niño Southern Oscillation. Now, despite being dubbed the little boy in Spanish, ENSO is not to be trifled with. In fact, it's one of the most important climate phenomena on Earth, due to its ability to change the global atmospheric circulation, which in turn influences temperature and precipitation across the globe. So, what is it? Well, the first thing you should know is that one of the most important factors influencing our weather is the temperature of the surface of the ocean. Scientists call this the sea surface temperature, or SST, and they've got a whole bunch of thermometers out there floating on buoys and sensors flying around on satellites to measure the temperature of the ocean surface. When they plug this data into atmospheric modeling simulations, they predict the weather. So where does ENSO come in? Well, El Niño and La Niña, and the neutral state, describe shifts and anomalies in the sea surface temperatures in the central and eastern tropical Pacific. And first, a quick backstory on how El Niño got its name, mainly to impress your friends with. So, fishermen along the west coast of South America, near Ecuador, first noticed that the coastal waters sometimes warmed up around Christmas. They named this pattern El Niño, after that religious holiday which celebrates the birth of a baby boy. Sadly, La Niña just stuck to describe the opposite of El Niño, and when neither pattern is present, we're in the neutral state. ENSO really just talks about this pattern of warmer or colder sea surface temps along the equator just west of South America. When we have colder sea surface temps in that area, that's La Niña, and when we have warmer sea surface temps in that area, that's El Niño. Since we know that sea surface temps play a huge role in our weather, these anomalies are watched closely by meteorologists to predict winter weather in North America. What does this all mean for us here in the San Juans? Well, at last check with NOAA's Climate Prediction Center, which keeps an eye on ENSO and updates their findings on the second Thursday of each month, sea surface temperatures are cooling in the central and eastern Pacific, meaning that we are headed for a La Niña this winter. And that usually doesn't mean great things if you're hoping for a ton of snow here in the southwest. Brace yourself, folks, because here is what NOAA predicts for us in the San Juans. With La Niña, we've got a 40 to 50% chance that it will be a warmer than average winter. Also, we've got a 33 to 40% chance that it will be a drier than average winter. So, warmer and drier, that's the headline. And this prediction makes sense. Because during La Niña, a blocking high pressure system in the Gulf of Alaska pushes the polar jet stream to the north. This brings cold air down through northwest Canada until it smacks into the variable Pacific jet stream, which brings the moisture, somewhere in the northwest. When these two collide, cold air plus big moisture equals massive dumps for the PNW and coastal BC. Pretty straightforward, eh? Well, not so fast, because ENSO isn't the only global weather pattern that meteorologists keep tabs on. There's the Madden-Julian Oscillation and the Pacific Decadal Oscillation. Oh, and don't forget the Arctic Oscillation and the Polar Vortex, and of course the Eastern Pacific Oscillation. Confused yet? Yeah, me too. Well, long story short, there's a ton of crazy stuff going on in our atmosphere. And meteorologists are getting better and better at understanding this stuff every year because of advances in weather modeling and how we collect data. Bottom line for us skiers and riders, don't trust the weatherman. While these predictions get us stoked or sad for the winter to come, they are just predictions. Remember, there's no magic crystal ball, just a whole lot of computers crunching numbers and producing model simulations. And guess what? You don't have to understand it all to still have fun playing in the snow. Wow. Does your brain hurt? Weather is cool, complicated, and kind of crazy. But hopefully you've got a better idea of the big picture and how it relates to our little slice of mountains. We'll keep an eye on that La Niña, see if it changes come spring, because that sometimes can bring us a few big storms to close out the season. Now, go impress somebody out there by telling them what the heck a bomb cyclone is. And tell your friends about the pod. Heck, tell a stranger, or anyone you think we got a kick out of listening to me nerd out about weather, snow, and avalanches. This is a grassroots production with just me, a mic, and my iPad, and I'm hoping to keep it pretty small scale and locally focused. But who knows where this ride will take us? Expect some more voices on the pod in future episodes, and hopefully some more good stories. I'll always aim to keep it under 20 minutes and focused on the things that matter most to us backcountry skiers and riders. But hey, if there's no snow to talk about, we're going to have to get creative. I am super psyched to have you listening in, so please feel free to rate the pod, subscribe, and share it with your friends and family. You can follow me on Instagram at San Juan Snowcast, and you can find the podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Also, with winter fast approaching, don't let this be your only source of new knowledge. Take an avalanche course, refresh your rescue skills, and go to a community event or avalanche awareness talk. We are all a part of this community of skiers and riders in the San Juans, and we gotta look out for each other when we're traveling in the backcountry here. As one of my old mentors likes to say, a stranger in the mountains is just a friend you haven't made yet. And when I go touring around Red Mountain Pass, I see a lot of potential amigos. So take care of each other, friends. Get stoked, get safe, and until next time, think snow.